and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is both the epistle and the gospel lesson that we heard read a moment ago. And I got to thinking, just like the Jews and the Greeks in the gospel that we heard today, you want to see Jesus. It's what I was taught when I was at the seminary. One of the first and foremost things, those who attend church, those who become Christians, those who remain devout and solid Christians their whole life, is because they want to see Jesus. Well, let me tell you, you have seen the glory of the Lord. You've seen His many, many miracles. Maybe even in your own life you've seen a miracle. Some of us that we got up out of bed this morning, that we rose and lived to work another day, that we rose to walk around and be with our families another day. It's a blessing. It's a miracle in some cases. And you've heard many of the wonderful things about Jesus Christ, haven't you? You've heard the many stories from God's holy word. You've heard all the miracles He performed, all those things He did for people, all the wonderful things He said during His life. You've heard about His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, how all those wonderful people joined and sung His praises and all of His glory and all the wonderful things about Him. And less than a week later, they put Him to death. You and I have seen and felt the difference that the name of Jesus Christ makes in our lives. And now you want to see Jesus? Well, reason you want to see Jesus, you want to see salvation. It's a big word, to be saved. Every single Christian church on the face of this earth talks about salvation, to be saved. And in our church, we talk about three things necessary to be saved. Three things are going to happen. You're going to be justified, you're going to be sanctified, and then you will be glorified. Your salvation works this way. I invite you to listen very closely. First and foremost, you must be justified. Justification. It's a big matter for our church. Justified in the faith. You must be justified before God. You have to be justified because you're a sinner. You're a poor, miserable sinner. I am too. And for that reason and that reason alone, and you cannot by your own power, by your own works, by your own words, secure justification before God. And because we are weak, yep, we are weak, and we're selfish too. God knows this. God knows all of our weaknesses. God knows all of our sins. And God knows how selfish that we are. That's why He sent His Son to die upon a cross for your justification. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why the cross has the power of God, because you needed to be justified. I needed to be justified. And only by God's Son, Jesus Christ, dying upon the cross, was our justification achieved. Second, you must be sanctified. Again, not of your doing. It's a work that only the Holy Spirit can do. Your sanctification. You are sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the washing away of your sins. Here at the font, you need to have your sins washed away because you know you are justified now before God. And now the Holy Spirit sanctifies you. He washes you white in the blood of the Lamb. You are pure. You are holy before God. You're clean. It happens right here at the font for most of us. It did for Letitia yesterday. We had a baptism here yesterday with young Letitia. I have a hard time doing baptisms because I firmly believe and I know that the Holy Spirit Himself is entering into that beautiful little girl, and such a wonderful thing is taking place. Thirdly, you will be glorified in heaven, just like Jesus was in our gospel today. He was glorified by His Father's word. A voice came from heaven, "I have glorified His name, and I will glorify it again." Some said it sounded like thunder. Others said an angel was speaking about Jesus. That will happen in heaven for you and for me. We will be glorified. Mary was glorified last Sunday. She went into her glory before the face of God. She's now there hearing Him say, "You are my dear child. Welcome to your heavenly home." But St. Paul says in our epistle text today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "The cross is folly to those who are perishing." You gotta be careful how you decipher this one, how you exegete this one, because the cross is folly, it's nonsense to those who are perishing. Doesn't mean they've perished already. They're on their way. And think about it, how many are on their way to perish? The cross and its message of justification, it strikes at the heart of all that's wrong with us. This justification, it concentrates on our self-centeredness. It takes it out of us. How many of us sit there and think, "I'm going to do it on my own terms"? How many of us put that on the back burner? How many of us procrastinate? How many of us think about it? "Well, I'll get around to it." And we never do. God knows that that's what we think about mostly is ourselves. We do. And God knows that. And God knew that we'd fail at keeping all that He'd commanded us. He knew that. What did He command us to do? To love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our strength. And to love our neighbor as ourself. We can't even do that. And He knows that. He knows it so well that we won't do it. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever should believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's law and gospel in as short as you can put it. And God knows this. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. This justification thing, it's very, very important. It's so important that in our Lutheran confessions, in the Book of Concord, people think this book was written by men, about men, and no, it's a further exposition of the Holy Scriptures. And it says here in the first and chief article that Jesus, I'm going to read, it says here is the first and chief article that Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, was handed over to death for our trespass and was raised for our justification, from Romans chapter 4. And he alone is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, from John chapter 1. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, from Isaiah chapter 53. Furthermore, all have sinned, and they are now justified without merit by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus by his blood. That is where our redemption before God took place. The cross. Now, because this must be believed and may not be obtained or grasped otherwise with any work, law, or merit, it is clear and certain that this faith alone justifies us. This faith in Jesus Christ alone justifies us before God. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, for we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law, and also that God alone is righteous and justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. This is important. Nothing in this article can be conceded or given up. Even if heaven and earth or whatever is transitory passes away, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, his blood shed for you and for me, is the most important article of faith that we have. There is no other name given among mortals by which we must be saved, and by his bruises we are healed. On this article stands all that we teach and practice against the Pope, the devil, and the world. Therefore, we must be quite certain and have no doubt about it. Otherwise, everything is lost, and the Pope and the devil and whatever opposes us will gain victory and be proved right. End quote. That's what our confessions say about the cross. That is where we are justified, at the cross on Calvary. So your justification began on Calvary, upon that bloody cross, where our Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the God-man himself, he let those evil and corrupt men nail him to the cross. They caused him to suffer right up to and including his death. He died. And because of Jesus' death upon that cross, God declares you and I righteous. God claims you as beloved, his dear child. So you too, each and every one of you, are now justified without any merit by grace, and God's grace alone, through the redemption that it is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and by his blood we have been saved. And then the Holy Spirit has also sanctified you He's made you holy. Yes, you are holy. Just as the disciples of old, they were holy. You too have become dedicated to God. Some of you, whether or not you believe that, whether or not you act like it, you are dedicated to the service of God. You are holy just like the disciples were. And you're not just like some pious pastor or priest or the most devout Christian you have ever known. You too are considered sacred. You and I are considered sacred. And it's not a one-time thing. All you who are baptized and redeemed by the blood of Christ for your entire life and everlasting, you are continually being made holy, not by your works, lest anyone could boast. By your hearing of his word, you continually are made holy. By your participation in the sacraments, by coming to the table of the Lord, when it is offered, as often as it is offered, you come and receive his holy body and blood. You participate in holy baptism. We didn't announce a lot of it about Letitia yesterday, but you can experience that same witness yourself by bringing someone that isn't baptized. Ask your friends, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell?
Well, I don't know. I kind of thought I was brought up in the church, but I kind of got away from it.
Well, have you ever been baptized? Let me let you talk with my pastor. That's your participation in holy baptism. And matter of fact, as you do that, you're going to remember yours and what your baptism means to you. Now comes what happens in your future. Those days to come. What happens? What do you have to look forward to? Many wonder. Another test this Friday, after all, was another week of school, just another test. Oh, another 40 hours at work, or maybe another 50 hours at work, or maybe another 60 hours I got to do this week. And see, that's 21 more meals I got to make sure the kids have. A lot of things that we dread. What do you have to look forward to? What's coming up? What is your hope? The final work of God for you and for me is to be glorified. Our glorification. That is where God transforms this pitiful earthly body for a wonderful, everlasting body with him and all the company of heaven, with all the saints who have gone before us. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's why we want to see Jesus. That's why we know that the cross is the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. We gather our offerings and tithes.